it can bring massive devastation when you think of the word alone and the experience that it follows it. Now, when I talk about this tonight, I'm not necessarily talking about alone in a sense like you're single or you don't live with any other family or you live by yourself or something like that. Although that might play into it, that's not necessarily what I'm talking about tonight. Because I've come to realize that all of us experience this at some point in our life. We feel alone, being alone. And I actually came to realize it happens more often than we think. I was thinking this morning and on Monday, I go running on those days with Will and Ben. And there comes a point in time when Will and Ben go further than me and I'm back by myself, alone. And I have time to think about being alone. And this is where this message was birthed from. When I was on a run on Monday, thinking about being alone, running alone. I like to blame it on my ankle, but I know the truth is that I'm just not as fast, and I can't run as far as they can. But I like to fall back on the ankle. But I realized that when I was alone, I realized something pretty incredible. And I hope this makes sense as I go through it tonight. But when I was alone, I wasn't alone. Okay? It's going to hurt your head a little bit. When I was alone, I wasn't alone. We experience this. We are alone in feeling. Maybe you're at your house by yourself. Maybe you're in a house full of people and you still feel alone. We experience this feeling, but we are not alone. And this is weird. So we, as humans, sink into this quite often, pretty much every day, I think, where we're alone with our own thoughts. Again, we might be in the house by ourselves. We're up late at night. No one else knows we're awake, and we're alone. We experience this quite a bit. And sometimes you think, I need more alone time. And then other times you think, I need less of that, right? It's a weird concept, and it's a weird paradox. I think of the movie Cheaper by the Dozen. You guys ever seen that movie? Steve Martin? There's a house full of how many kids? 12 kids. And there's one kid that feels alone. Does anybody remember his name? Bless you. His name was FedEx. Remember, he was the kid with the frog. He had his room all the way in the top. He's a house full of kids, yet felt like he was by himself all the time. He felt alone. No one liked him. Even though we are alone, we are not alone. And I want to talk with this because I struggle with this. I must admit, and you can ask Sophia, I'm afraid of being alone by myself. I don't like it. I hate it, actually. I don't like being alone. I have self-diagnosed myself with something called autophobia, which is the fear of being alone. And it's not that I can't handle it. I can stay home by myself alone, and it's fine. Or that, like when I prepared this lesson, I was by myself, and I just worked through it and worked through it, and I was alone. It's not that I can't handle it, but I hate being alone. Because something evident in my life happens when I am alone. And the thing that happens when I'm alone is I realize that I'm not alone. I'm going to keep breaking your heads tonight. You're probably thinking, why does he keep saying this kind of stuff? Maybe you know where I'm going with this. But the thing that happens that scares me the most when I'm alone is that I realize I'm not actually alone. I want you to read this scripture with me. This comes from 1 Peter. And when you see a little letter after the number in a reference, that means that's one half of the verse. So this is 1 Peter 5:8b. It's up here on the screen, and it says, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." There is a constant enemy, the devil, prowling, walking around, and it says like a lion, continually ready to devour, which means what? Eat. That's kind of scary. Continually seeking to devour you. And oftentimes, this is me, and oftentimes this is you. And just like me, and probably for you, it often happens or it heightens when you're all alone. So you're alone, but you're really not. And I hope we can understand from this verse, we see three things. The devil is real. And he is constantly on the move, and he's ready to destroy you, whatever that may be. The minute I'm alone is the very minute that I realize that I'm sinful. The minute I'm alone is the minute that I realize that at my door, knocking on it, is this lion who is ready to take me down in any way he possibly can, whatever way that may be. And it looks different for all of us, but it happens a lot when I'm alone. And the Bible calls him a lion, which is weird because lions are pretty amazing creatures. They're scary. I would be terrified to be locked in a cage with a lion. I can't lie. I would not like that. I'd probably die pretty quickly. But Scripture says that the devil is a lion, and he's ready to swallow. He's ready to devour you. And yet I find myself in my life messing around with this lion, wanting to go up and pet him. Right? You feel that? The devil's described as a roaring lion, yet we spend time getting closer and closer to him. Like, he is terrifying, but yet something is drawing us in. It's a terrifying lion, but yet something is drawing us in to him. Paul says in 2 Timothy that he was rescued from the lion's mouth, which could be referring to the devil here, that he was rescued by God from the lion's mouth. So even Paul is being drawn in by Satan to sin. So when I realize that I'm not alone, when I am alone, and that Satan is ready to devour me, that's when a lot of the time my thoughts can get very dark. That's when I'm very tempted to sin. That's when I'm most tempted to step away from turning to God and turn towards this lion who wants to kill me, but yet I want to go closer to it. It's like those people in the circus with the whips. They want to get inside the cage with the lion. Like, automatically, that just doesn't make sense, right? They want to get in there with the lion, and all they have is a little whip to protect themselves. He tempts me to make my actions not glorify God, which is the opposite of what I want to do, which is the opposite of what we want to do as Christians. I think, I hope, we all agree with that. But, ironically enough, I don't think that in thinking this that I am alone. And I would venture out to say that you guys would probably agree with me for the most part. And when you're alone, you realize you're not alone. And that's when you're tempted to sin. That's when it's heightened. That's when it's more, I think. Satan tempts us with all types of crazy stuff. And in that very moment, we want to go pet the lion that is ready to destroy us. Doesn't make sense, but yet we do it. Often. This even happened with Jesus, if we remember, when he went to the wilderness. He was alone, and he was tempted. He was fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan was there tempting him all the time, continually, pestering him. Yet Christ prevails. He's without sin. But it happened to Jesus. It happens to us. It happens to me daily, on a daily basis. So we are constantly being tempted, and we are constantly having our focus taken away from God. But with the remaining minutes I have tonight, I want to give you one encouragement that is foundational for how we should view this. And then I want to give you like five ways to practical steps to combat this very situation. Okay? So focus with me for the next 10 minutes, if that. So the encouragement is that I want to give it from the Bible, so it's coming straight from Scripture. The encouragement is actually the same as the discouragement that I just gave you. So the discouragement is that when we are alone, we're not alone, and there's a lion, Satan, who wants to tempt us. But also, the encouragement is that when you are alone, you are not alone. You guys don't understand what I'm saying. I'm probably not saying it very well. You got it, Kevin? Okay, I got a thumbs up from Kevin. So the encouragement is that when you are alone, you are not alone. Now, obviously, since it's an encouragement, I'm not speaking of Satan being there with you this time, right? That would be bad. That's discouragement, right? I'm speaking here of God. So when you are alone, you're actually not alone because God is with you. I want to show you a few verses. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amazing. He's with us. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, when he commissions us to go and share the gospel. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Another one. And not only that, if we are believers, we have been given the Holy Spirit. And here's a few verses for that. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. 2 Timothy 1:14. By the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. That one more associates with other people, but the other ones, when we are alone, we're actually not alone, for God is with us. He is with us. You're not alone. In the Christian life, when you are on top of the mountain, he is there. And when you are in the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't get much worse than this, he's there with you. He's comforting you. Those are big encouragements for me. I know some people that are in the valley of the shadow of death right now, but God is there with them, comforting them with his rod and his staff. And then read this. This one's long, and you probably can't read it. Let me read it for you. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Listen to that language. Your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. When Jade walks, she can't go down steps very well. So what do I have to do? I have to hold her hand, right? I have to lead her and guide her as she tries to stumble down these stairs. If I didn't, her face would be purple, okay, from all the time she would fall onto the concrete or whatever she's stepping off of. God is leading us. He's guiding us. His right hand shall hold us. That means that God's right-handed. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. All right. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with you. And just to add another verse, when we feel like we are all alone, being tempted by Satan, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may also be able to endure it. In the face of temptation, God is giving us the escape. When you are alone, you are not alone. Okay, I'm going to say that probably 10 more times, okay? So brace yourselves for that. So really, if we take all this into account, and I know I got to go quick, but if we take all this into account, it really boils down to this, that in the face of being alone, in whatever capacity it's in, whether that we're home by ourselves, or whether we're in a house full of people with alone with our thoughts, or whether we are thousands of miles away from everyone we care about, whatever capacity it's in, it boils down that when we're alone, this lion who is ready to devour us, Satan, with superficial temptations, with pitiful thoughts, with actions that are not glorifying to God, when he's ready to take us down and ruin us and destroy us when we're alone, the truth of the matter is that in the very depths of our soul, there's this reality that there is actually another lion. And this is the Lion of Judah. This is Christ, arrayed in all his glory, who rules and reigns over everything, who is sovereign, who knows all, and who is all-powerful, who is there, and whose very spirit is with you, giving you the way of escape. Now, that's massively encouraging, because you have this one lion who's ready to kill you, and you have this other one that's going to stomp on his head and kill him. Okay? This truth is lingering in us, and we long for it, and we look back at this devouring lion that is now a lot wimpier than it was before, who is Satan. We see his weaknesses. We see the vain attempts he has at destroying us and drawing us away from God. And we are so captivated at God, the Lion of Judah, who is there with us as well, comforting us, protecting us. His spirit is within us. We run to him for protection. We run to him for comfort. And we run to him to be freed from this temptation, because the way of escape comes from him only. 1 Corinthians. So there's this paradox that we think we are alone. We think no one else knows what's going on in our head. We think that no one else even cares or gives a rip about us, but yet there's two people that do. One wants to destroy you, and one wants to bring him glory through you and do it for your good. Do you see that? And why do we, every time almost, run to this one that wants to take us down? Almost every time. Almost every time. As Christians, we need to grasp this, that though you may be alone, you are not alone, because there is one greater, there is one mightier than all else who is with you. That's your Creator, your Savior, and your God, the Lion of Judah. He's there with you. I've mentioned this verse multiple times in the past weeks, but I just can't get away from it. He's there with you so much so that he knows how many times you toss back and forth in your bed. He knows how many tears you've cried. He keeps them in his bottle. He writes them down in his book. He knows exactly what you're going through. Every single pain, every single bad thought, he knows them all. He's there with you. He's comforting you. He wants to protect you. Now, I wish that just knowing that would end the fight between the temptation and honoring God. I wish. It would solve a lot of our problems, wouldn't it? If just knowing that God was there with us, we would never turn around and go anywhere else. But we are sinful. We fall, we fail. We turn from God, we disobey. We get back up, and then we do it again. Constantly, we're running from God, the very one who wants to protect us and keep us. But knowing this truth is foundational. So when I give you these next five things really quickly that are helpful in my own life, you have to know this. This is foundational to fighting temptation when alone and redeeming those moments when you are alone. Okay? So this is very foundational, and this is something that I have been struggling with so much recently. And I know that sounds weird because, well, Colin, you have a great family, you have a wife, you have a kid, you have great church family, you have great friends. You have all, I mean, I'm almost never alone. I try as hard as I can to never be alone. So how can you feel this way? Fighting against the enemy, leaning on Christ and glorifying him in the midst of temptation. There's five, maybe six, I think five ways God has shown me how to get rid of this. And though I still fail, though I'm still sinful, these have been massively helpful. So knowing that when Satan tempts me, there is one greater who's on my side, who's fighting for me, who's drawing me to him with his love, is foundational for these practical steps that play out. So I have to know that first. So here are the ways that God has helped me. So first thing is, be watchful. 1 Peter 5:8-9. I showed this verse at the very beginning. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. There's another reason that you're not alone there at the end, side note. But you have to be expecting an attack. He's constantly trying to destroy you, constantly. No days off, Sundays included. He doesn't take Sundays off. If anything, that's a double shift for him. So be expecting an attack. So if you have someone who's guarding a castle, or if you have someone that's watching a jail cell, you don't pick the guy that says, oh, that sounds really easy, I can just stand there all day. You pick the guy that says, something could happen at any moment and I have to be ready, right? That's what they do. Back in the day when they would guard something, they would stand there being ready if something happened. I think in the same way, we have to be watchful. We have to be sober-minded. We have to be ready, expecting that we are going to be attacked. If we are Christians, this is told of us everywhere in the Bible. That's going to happen. So we have to be watchful. We have to be on our guard. So when the attack comes, we can resist the devil and we can stand firm in our faith. Okay? Be watchful. Number two is, remind yourself of the gospel. Remind yourself that Christ died for your sins. He rose again from the dead, so that through faith in him, you are redeemed, you are purchased, you are adopted into his family forever. Remind yourself of that. Tell it to yourself every time that you feel alone. That we have died to sin, that Christ defeated sin, he defeated death, and he defeated Satan. So we no longer have to turn to those things, but we can turn away from them and turn to the one who has set us free from those things. Remind yourself of that. Let it be on your heart and on your mind, if it's true of you. So when you're all alone, Satan tempts you to despair, whatever that may be, whatever it looks like. It looks different for all of us. We all have those sins that we're dealing with. Lift your eyes back to the one who conquered him. Lift your eyes because we know the ending, right? We know how this book ends. And we know that one lion is going to defeat the other one pretty easily. And that lion's on our side. Number three, surround yourself with Christ-centered community. So we have be watchful. We have remind yourself of the gospel. And then surround yourself with Christ-centered community. This means a lot of different things. This means the church. This means this right here. This means the youth group. This means Cross Fusion. This means your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. This means people who are there to look out for you. Fellow Christians, make every effort you can to surround yourselves with them. Tell them your struggles. Pray with them. Read scripture with them. Lean on them. Go with them and lay your burdens down together at the cross. Encourage one another. Glorify God together. Serve together, etc., etc., etc. Surround yourself with these people. You can't isolate as a Christian. We were created for community. The very nature of God is communal, right? He's three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're in a constant community of love. And we were made in his image, were we not? We were created for community. My heart longs to be with other people. I hate being alone. I can't stand it. My heart longs to be with other people. We were created for community. And we are doing this together. We have the same goal. We have the same love. We have the same God that we all serve together. So surround yourself with these people. It is so helpful. We do it here a lot, right? We have three times a week that we meet. And some of us meet even more outside of that. And I'm hanging out with you guys all the time. We do this a lot because it's necessary for us and it's helpful. So surround yourself with these people. Next thing, surround yourself with Scripture. If you were here on Sunday, Ben preached a great message on the Word of God and why it's important for us. So think back to that a little bit. This is one of the verses that he had. Psalm 119:25. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. We go back to Scripture. It gives us life. God's word gives us life. Surround yourself with it. Post it on your walls. Put little sticky notes and post it on your mirror. When you wake up in the morning and your hair's a mess and you just look absolutely beautiful and you're looking at that mirror, you're not looking at yourself. You're looking at these Scriptures that are reminding you of God. Memorize it. Read it every day. Put it as your background on your phone, on your computer, on your iPad, on your Kindle, whatever else you guys use. Put it as your background. Talk about it with one another. Surround yourself with it. Don't ever get enough of it. Read it. Even if you're not grasping all of it, read it and read it and read it. Keep going. It's giving you life. Treat it like you need it to breathe, right? Just do it all the time. Surround yourself with Scripture. And then the last thing, we need to go. Last thing is pray. We can never overlook prayer. This is literally communicating with the God of the universe. Like, that should blow our mind every time we even say the word pray. We communicate with God. Okay? We just did it before we started this lesson. We prayed for Micah. We went to God of the universe on behalf of one of our fellow brothers in Christ. Pray. When you think you are alone, you cry out in prayer because God hears you and he's there. John 9:31. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. We know that we are sinners, but we've been saved by grace. Right? If we've put our faith in Christ, we've been saved and God hears us. When we don't think he hears us, he hears us. When we don't think he's there with us. When we're at the lowest of lows and we're at the highest of highs, where can he go but right beside us? He's always there, even when we think he's not. This is helpful to me. I don't know if it helped you at all, but this was massively helpful when I was preparing for this because this is something that I struggle with. And you might not think that, but it is. And I think we all do to a certain extent. So take these truths and apply them and do them because they are going to help you fight against this lion who's constantly ready to take you down. Because we know that there's one greater than him. Let me pray for us, and then there's a picture of a lion, because lions are cool. Let me pray, and then we are going to head over there and fellowship with one another. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can learn. Help us to take truths that are in your word, apply them in our lives, and glorify you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you, guys. Let's go over there. Be respectful. Don't eat too much.